Amen. You may be seated. We will continue in the continuum. Oh my God. The glorious body of Christ, the church. I mean, that is something that will forever and ever be impressed upon our minds. Even those who do not understand it. Now, in the eternal realm, this is what your existence is all about. Amen. Our placement and position in the glorious body of Christ, the church. Deacon Gavin shall be our designated reader this morning. We turn first to our base scripture in the third chapter of Galatians, verses 26 to 29. And then we had been gleaning nuggets from Colossians chapter 1, the context of which is verses 15 through 20, and we have moved down through in verse 20. There are a couple more nuggets I want to dig out of that verse this morning, and then we shall then move into the second chapter, if time allows, of Colossians, we shall basically focus on the verses 9 through 13 as we progress and move toward the ending of this. We have been laboring now some over 9 months. As I looked on the internet, and I checked the number. Amen. I think our message is number 36 now. That means if you take that and divide it by 4, amen, that's 9 months of messages on this subject, and we're not through yet. Amen. Perhaps another 5 or 6 more outings, and we shall probably come to a conclusion of it. I hope that those who have received the document, the glorious body of Christ, the church, that you still have it. We're going to put some more copies in the back. I did make some corrections on it. It is on the website. Also, for those that may be listening to this message through the audio section of our website, and we ask that you keep this and look at it and consider it. There's another 20-some pages of which I have placed on another document that is called, we have given the theme, our eternal union in Christ, the elect's eternal union in Christ. I will sometimes a little later be handing that out to the congregation, and it will be on the website as well. Sometimes in the future we will discourse that document. It is in the same vein as the contents of this document, the glorious body of Christ, the church. All right, everyone has the Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon, just read through that right quickly, and then we'll progress to our text this morning.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
My Lord.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
There is neither bond nor free.
There is neither bond nor free.
There is neither male nor female.
Read.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
All right, and we think it is firmly established here. He is not talking about the promise that is derived from the Abrahamic covenant.
No, no.
but the promise that is through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, amen, that promise of salvation that is to all men, but more specifically here, he is speaking to the church, amen. This is information that was hid, it was not revealed until God, amen, gave it to the Apostle Paul by revelation, and and also it, I might say, it is by revelation to the church. All right, now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Our context is 15 through 20. Brother Deacon, why don't you read that? Wait first. Everyone just has it. I hear pages, so we wait on you. This is so important.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I can't think of anything else that is that would have a high priority over our understanding and comprehension of our eternal abode in the body of Christ. No matter whatever else is going on in your world.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
It takes second place.
Yeah.
I always and always say, and I believe in the Bible, more importantly, documents that the eternal thing to be prioritized over, amen, the temporary things of this life.
All right.
Amen. Whatever is going on, whatever is happening, and I dare say that everybody, amen, that's under the sound of my voice this morning, you're having some kind of problems. Troubles,
yes.
Amen. You're between the womb and the tomb, so you're stuck with whatever's going down. Either side of you, the front and the back, above you, below you, whatever is going on. Amen. But more realistic than what is going on around you are these eternal truths and facts. What God has visually placed as benefits for you, and you will abide in them regardless of what is happening now. Amen. These are only temporary incidents and occurrences that we are contending with. Amen. On our way, manifestation-wise, to what God in eternity has already established for us.
All right.
So, to have peace, we were singing a song, "Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace," a while ago. The problem is, God's people, as well as the world, are looking around, and they're looking for the things of this life to give us peace. Amen. So, that's inviting yourself for a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes things are going pretty good. Other times things are not so good. Amen. So depending upon what your circumstances are, amen, will determine where you are on the peace scale. Whether it's up or down, amen, whether it's, amen, below the chart sometime.
Yeah.
Some of us, amen, we get so down in the dumps because of the things that are happening. And I'm not saying that we are not emotionally affectuated by these things. But the Word of God comes, and as we identify with our eternal, amen, relationship with God and what God has established, amen, in the vertical plane, it takes us above the things that are around us, and we are able to see these things for what they are.
Right.
They are temporary incidents and occurrences. Amen. They come to pass. Amen. They come, but they surely pass.
Yeah.
It doesn't stick around. Whatever situation you may find yourself in today, it is temporary. Everything concerning this life, it is temporary. Amen. And we dare here at the Grace Gospel Ministry, we dare to minister to the inner of the new of the spiritual man, to the eternal, amen, creature who is firmly positioned in Christ Jesus and have always been there from the standpoint of time because God placed us there in eternity. And so we don't apologize, amen, for talking about these eternal spiritual unseen things. Amen. It is the essence of knowing and relating to what God has for us that will enable us to stand against the snares of the enemy and stand against the contender and stand against the adversary, amen, who comes to take our joy, amen, amen, and to cause us to walk below the level of peace and joy and contentment that are to be found through the knowledge and the comprehension that you, amen, are members of the glorious body of Christ, the church. Yes, no matter what else is going on.
No matter.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You have more positive going for you, much more positive going for you than the negative things that are around us.
Hallelujah.
All right, everyone has Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read or read.
Who is the image of the invisible God?
Mm-hmm.
The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible,
mm-hmm.
whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Who is being referred to as he or him?
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ. Keep reading.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
For it pleased him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Father.
Nope.
Amen.
Nope.
Nothing would be wrong with the Father being pleased here,
mm-hmm.
except that's just not what the conveyance is.
That's right.
For it pleased him. Who is he in him?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. All right?
For it pleased him that in him should all fullness dwell.
Mm-hmm.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross.
My Lord.
By him to reconcile all things unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
All right. We had, at the church, amen.
Amen.
We had moved down to the 20th verse, and probably I think we had gotten maybe halfway through this verse last week, and we continue here, and as we have said to you, and as we read this from the Greek text, first of all, the first phrase there, and through him belongs really in verse 19. It is a continuation of what is conveyed there. So as we look at the essence of what is being basically presented for consideration in this verse, we look at the word reconcile. In fact, Brother Deacon, why don't you take your, I know you got your Greek Bible with you. Amen. Always take it out. Amen. Read the King James because basically that is the predominant Bible that is used in most evangelical circles and the Bible that many of us we were weaned on and we basically read it even with all the D's and the D's and the Y's and the D's. And then some of us pray that way, amen, using thee and thou, and we absolutely don't talk that way. But the surest way to get the intended cogitation of that of which the writer, the Holy Spirit, is conveying is to go to the original writings or copies of the original writings. In this case, in the New Testament, we're speaking of in the Greek. And as we look at this, I want you to listen, and I'm still praying that somehow we'll be able to get enough Greek Bibles. Everyone that part of this ministry will have one. Yes. Amen. Again, don't run to the bookstore and buy a Greek interlineal because you may get the wrong one. Yeah. So just wait, and we're hoping in the very near future to have access to the ones that we feel are at least close enough in the writings of the manuscripts. All right, let's focus on verse 20 and listen to as Deacon Gavin reads from Greek interlineal there, the translation beginning with to reconcile.
And through him to reconcile.
To reconcile.
To reconcile all things mm-hmm. to him, making peace through the blood of the cross of him, through him, whether the things of the earth
mm-hmm.
or the things of in the heavens.
All right, as we focus on the second phrase of that verse, the arena of this phrase focuses on the earthly manifestation of the eternal workings of God in the sphere of time. Notice here we're going to give you the actual reading. Irinopisios tios to imatos to stop you up to. And here it is bracketed tia up to through him. There was some question as to whether that is in that is rendered through him, whether through him is in that verse twice. The first part of that verse, through him, is akin to verse 19. We will follow through in including that based on the fact that we believe that the context of the context of the text supports it. This is rendered having made peace through the blood of his cross, again bracketed through him. In this view, sin, that is the view from the earthly view of which this is speaking, the blood of the cross, in this view, sin made, produced a barrier of enmity between God and all that had been created through Christ. The cross. When we focus on eternity and we give the information concerning the fact that the workings of salvation are all eternal, we don't do so with a view of discounting the manifestation of the cross. That is the testimony that has been given to us on earth. We cherish the cross. We sing the old rugged cross. We sing about Calvary. Amen. We thank God, amen, for this display of love, manifestation-wise, upon Calvary. Amen. So we do not discount what happened manifestation-wise. Amen. We must understand, though, that some things that are written in the Word of God, they are written from the viewpoint of what is occurring and what God, amen, has designed to be manifested to us in the earthly realm. And we sing about it, we praise God about it, amen. But to understand the total essence of what the security is in Christ, one must look into the eternal realm, amen. So in this verse, though, it is speaking about the testimony of Jesus upon the cross. The cross. the cross where Jesus shed his blood and death as a result of assuming the elect's sin, this is manifestation wise, is the basis for supplanting the animosity with peace. Man's sin brought forth the wrath of God against him, that is, against mankind. However, in assuming his sin with his wrath, Christ made provision for man to be reconciled, this is speaking now, amen, from the earthly vantage point of viewing manifestation-wise what God had done through Christ. Christ made provision for man to be reconciled to a peaceful relationship with God. As we look at Romans 5 and 1, we're not going to look at it this morning, amen, time is not going to allow, but basically remember, in the writings of the Bible, when you look into the Old Testament, most of the writings, just about all of the writings, I would say, are from the earthly vantage point, of the earthly view, going all the way up through the various dispensations of Adam and Eve in the garden. And you look into Genesis, you see the writings there. They are basically from the earthly viewpoint. And then you move into consciousness, these historical accounts, they are all viewed from the earthly viewpoint. And this is why we don't go into those areas of the Bible, amen, to authenticate anything. You can go there and corroborate something, amen, but we're always looking from the vantage point of the knowledge that is given in our gospel. But as you move through Genesis and verse chapter 12, rather, and you see the essence of the wordings there concerning God calling Abraham out and all of the stories of historically that have been documented concerning the life of Abraham and God's dealing with him and drawing out and making a nation through him and the establishment of the Abrahamic covenant and all of the blessings. These are all from the earthly view. Amen. Oh my God. And even when you look at God's dealing with his covenant people Israel through the Mosaic covenant and the dispensation of the law and the ordinances, amen, they're all there. And they're all dealing with life and existence from the earthly view. So as you go through, amen, Genesis and Exodus, and you go into Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and you go in, amen, to all of the Old Testament writings and the historical accounts and Chronicles and Kings and Samuel and so forth, and you move on through these writings, you see, amen, basically things that are spoken from the earthly view. Follow me now. Even the prophecies that speaks of a new dispensation, the kingdom and dispensation, and even the account and the writings that are given in the new covenant of Jeremiah 31, they are speaking basically, again, from the earthly view. Basically, it is speaking about an eternal God, but he is being reviewed from the earthly plateau. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And as you move even into the different prophecies, all of the action and all of the prophesying about the earth and what's going to happen on the earth and God's, amen, elect and people who are earth dwellers. As you even move into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see again, even with the advent of Jesus upon the earth, you see, amen, things spoken of and documented in the essence of those things as viewed from the earth. Earthly things. Amen. And so, as you look into these things, they are all pointing, amen, even in the eternal realm, to the earthly carried out of those things that have been prophesied. But there was a secret that God had that no one knew. Amen. We are speaking about the revelation of the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. This information that no man knew. Amen. Because God had not chosen to reveal it unto anyone until, amen, he called by Paul's own testimony. In essence, he said, I was called from my mother's womb. And we understand through the message that God gave him, amen, that there is an eternal picture that God had not given them before he revealed it in this message. And so the conversion of Paul entailed also the giving of the basic information that God from eternity, before the essence of time, before the creation of the world, he had a plan, he had a purpose. And in this purpose, he worked and he moved and he placed into existence. Yes, amen. He actuated the essence of a new creation, a new, amen, man. And y'all don't hear me this morning. He placed into existence his elect that were chosen and elected in him before the foundation of the world, and placed into the mystical body of Christ. And so when you get to the message that are contained in these epistles written by the Apostle Paul, there is information there that is given more than from the essence of being able to view that God with us. But now we go a little deeper. We go into the essence of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. A hope, amen, that doesn't begin with time, doesn't begin with Adam, doesn't begin, amen, oh my God, with the things that he brought to order manifestation wise upon the cross. But it points to an era before creation, before time, that way back, y'all don't hear me this morning.
Yes,
way back, before there was a world.
That's right.
Amen. In the first creation, God foreknew ya. Amen. He foreknew ya, and then he called ya. This was, no, that's in time. No, that's in eternity. And he justified ya. Oh my God. And he glorified you. And he placed you into a most favorable position. But he just didn't bother to tell anybody about it.
That's right.
Didn't it? This information.
Come on.
Is documented in the mystery. So we dare this morning stand against the tide of the majority of Christendom teaching and state that this message is different. And this gospel is different. And this gospel is directed and given to us as members of the body of Christ. And so when you read the Bible, amen, if you want to read the entire gamut, amen, and we encourage you, but know that it's for you. But if you want to read what's to you, look into the directives of the church, amen, the gospel, the grace of God, the mystery as revealed to the Apostle Paul as he dwelled in Arabia for 3 years. So yes, there are prioritized writings in the Word of God, in the Bible. And when you look at the writings of the Apostle Paul, and when you look at which conveys the wordings that he received from Jesus Christ, so they're really not Paul's writings. It is what Paul wrote as a result of what he had been taught. Oh my God, sometimes I think about that and I shudder. A 3-year Bible study from Jesus Christ himself. For he writes that no man gave this to me. I did not receive this from man, but by revelation. And so when you look into these writings, you must know that they are different. And the basic difference is that they are basically conveyed from the vertical heavenly viewpoint. And when the Apostle Paul in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians speaks concerning those spiritual blessings, he is not talking about anything that is physical or natural, things that can be seen, things that we can physically relate to. But he is speaking of the eternal workings of God, these eternal benefits and provision that God also graciously bestowed upon us in the eternal realm before he created us in the physical realm. And so as we look at these scriptures, sometimes they are speaking strictly from the eternal physical viewpoint. And then other times, interchangeably, because manifestation is important, that is the testimony. When we're in eternity, it is the manifest testimony of what occurred in time that we will have, amen, as a gauge to juxtapose or compare with where God, amen, ultimately has placed us. Amen. It would be even more joy in eternity when I look back and see where he brought me from. Huh? The old saints used to say, look where he brought me from. They used to sing that song, look where he brought me from. He brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. I don't know what they were thinking about. Amen. But when you view, amen, the essence of the manifested occurrences of time, and you take those and you compare them where we shall ultimately dwell eternally in the body of Christ, there's going to be joy. Amen. Joy of knowing that he has taken us from the depths of depravity and placed us into the essence of where he has given us the nature of God. And this is why we continue to beat the essence of this information over and over and over and over and over again, focusing on the body of Christ and the fact that we are members of it, to give the value and the essence of what that entails, we focus on the head. This is why all messages is about Jesus. It's not only about him, it's all about him. And so, as we look at this verse, it is given the testimony for comparison's sake, amen, that again the wrath of God was upon us, and he assumed the penalty of our sins. He assumed the wrath of God. And he made these provisions in manifestation because in eternity he had reconciled us He had already reconciled. Here we have, amen, we have a participle here, irinopisas, which is rendered having made peace. This is an aorist participle. The aorist tense is what? Past completed action. Amen. The peace was already made. And as I said before, as we passed out the document, justification and sanctification, what's the difference? Amen. There is a difference, but there is no difference in conferment. There is difference in effectuation. Amen. Justification is the declaration of God concerning what he has done. And sanctification is the essence of what he has done. He did not just declare you to be just. He made you righteous. So the declaration is of what he has done. And understanding this, sanctification is the fact that he has set us apart as members of the body of Christ. We are separated. Amen. It does not speak to conduct. Conduct, amen, is identified by maturation or maturity. Sanctification is identified by position.
Come on here.
And by position, it is a done deal.
Yes.
But through maturation, it is progressive.
Yes, sir.
So there is progressive maturity.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no such thing as progressive sanctification.
No way. Mm-hmm.
If sanctification is setting you apart, God doesn't do that in steps. If it deals with position, he doesn't do it in steps. And what is taught by the majority of Christendom is that as we grow and we develop, we're becoming more sanctified. No. If you don't understand that, when you read this, you've got it. All the workings of God in time, when our gospel predominantly speaks from the eternal viewpoint. So you got to know what you're reading and where the thoughts originate. Is it expressing what God did in eternity? Or is it expressing what he did in time? This is what you must always look as you exegete the scripture. As you look into the scripture and you begin to interpret it. Amen. One of the aspects of exegesis is historical. And the first thing, if it's our gospel, more than likely, it is talking about from the viewpoint of eternity than it is from time. Even though there are things that this is one verse in here, and he speaks of the blood of his cross. Amen. You have the genitive of possession there of the blood that belongs to the cross, of the blood that manifestly was shed upon the cross. He is speaking from that viewpoint. But we know, amen, from the entirety of the context and all of the writings and the doctrine of grace that the blood of Jesus was shed in eternity.
Amen.
This is why in Revelation they could write that the Lamb of God was slain for the foundation of the world. So all the way from eternity, amen, the blood of Jesus has always been available to God. What do you think he saved Adam with? Huh? And when the flood came, what do you think he saved Noah? He said, and Noah found grace in God's eyes.
Yeah.
How did Noah find grace in God's eyes? Because the blood of, you see, without, there can be no grace without the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was available. We were taught, amen, that all of the Old Testament saints, they died and went into the grave, and they were hanging in limbo until Jesus went to Calvary 2,000 years ago. And therefore, the blood of Jesus from Calvary goes all the way back to save Adam retroactively. No such thing. When you look into the scriptures, and Paul writes in the third chapter of Romans, and he says that he is not only just, but he is the justifier. So he was, my God, when he justified Abraham. He didn't justify Abraham on credit, looking toward Calvary and paying it off later.
All right, now come on.
Now that's the way we do. That's the way most of us live,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah. So we can relate to that, you know, buy now and pay later.
Yeah.
Amen. You're not justified till that thing is paid off. If you don't think so, you stop making those notes.
Amen. Amen.
So you're not clear. Amen. But when God goes into the garden and he saves Adam, he is justified. He is clear.
Yeah.
It is settled. It is paid at that point.
Yeah.
Because the blood of Jesus was always available to him. So we were actually saved in eternity. But we still thank God for the manifestation of testimony in time as to what our Lord Jesus Christ did, manifestation-wise, in coming to earth and dwelling upon earth among men, identifying with men, and going to Calvary and dying for our sins, and he rose for our justification. Amen. And we buy into all of this, and we thank God for this testimony. But oh, when we look into the depths of our gospel, it teaches us that he chose us and elected us before the foundation of the world. You were always saved, you just didn't know it.
No.
A whole lot of things you don't know. And the value of this information is that on any given day, we stumble, we fall. Sometimes we fall flat on our face. Oh, yes, we do. Nobody in here is immune from that. And if you had to look at your record, and your ability and your actions in time and offer those up collectively to God at the end of your tenure on this earth, where do you think you would go? If it was based upon that, if it was based upon our actions. Now, as we said last week, and as I continue to say to you, conduct is very important. Because when you started preaching grace, the first thing to say is, oh, you're trying to give an excuse to, you don't need an excuse, just live. You'll do anything depravity will lead you into. But this is given as a basis of improving conduct, because the way conduct is improved is through identification with Christ. As you identify with the new man of who you are, and the motivation for that is the fact that you are who you are, not based upon what you do, but upon what Christ has already done for you. And who you are, you are in Christ right now, glorified. No manifestation wise, we haven't reached that. Amen. For these bodies have got to shed, and they will be destroyed. But what I am is not what I am now. What I am is what he made me to be before he created me and placed me in flesh and blood. And so this is what this is basically saying. Now, in taking note of the fact that this participle translated having made peace in the aorist tense, follow me now, it becomes apparently clear that the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, which rectified the offense and resulted in peace, thus occurred in a previous vein, in eternity, not in time. So when you read the 5th chapter of Romans, around the 9th and the 10th verse, know that it is from the eternal view, and know that there are some aspects of it that's expressed from time. But if you're going to be secure, you must always go back to the sphere of security.
Amen.
And that is eternity.
Amen.
Now, give me about 10 minutes. So we started early, and so I'm not. I was just kidding. I didn't mean I was going to preach. I haven't half the day, so I get nervous there. All right. Hence, manifestation-wise, Christ's blood, which was shed upon Calvary's cross, is sufficient to reconcile all things in the universe. Here we have the last phrase of verse 20. Brother Deacon, go back and read that last phrase again, whether it starts off whether, amen. Because here we've talked about the blood of Jesus being shed upon Calvary and what it done. Through the context, we've been able to trace it to the eternal realm. Amen. And here, this last verse is spoken form of from the eternal realm.
All right.
This last phrase. The last phrase.
Whether the things on the earth.
Whether the things on the earth.
Or the things in the heaven.
Or the things in the heaven. Now, very slowly, I'm going to walk through this, and then I'm down for the day. Here, I'm going to give you the actual reading. Itita epitis yis iteta in tis uranis. That is rendered, that is rendered, that is rendered. Whether things upon the earth are on the earth, or things in the heavens. Again, itata epistis yis etita in tis uranis. Whether things, catch this, on upon the earth, upon the earth, upon the earth, are things in the heavens. In the heavens, upon the earth. In the heavens, upon the earth. There is a difference. But the bottom line is that all is reconciled to him. Remember in the reading of the 8th chapter, Romans, and it speaks about all creation groaneth and travaileth, waiting to be delivered, to receive its deliverance, just like we are. What is that stating? Paul said that in correlation to the fact that our union is in Christ the head, our righteousness, wherein we are perfectly mortified, as having been planted in the fellowship of his death and embodied in his transformed spiritual nature. Now, this could not be expressed to the elect of the previous dispensations who did not have the vantage point of the heavenly view. For this would not have meant any anything to them in their gospel because the information that is given to them that abides in the mystery was reserved until God revealed it to Paul and the church. And so this is exclusively speaking to us.
Right.
Now notice, and we was moving to this in the second chapter, we're not going there this morning, but we, as members of the body of Christ, we are full, we are complete in Him. But that completion is not on the earth. That fullness of completion is in the heavens.
Yes, 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 yes.
So we are on the earth as pilgrims and sojourners.
Yep, yep.
But we are in the heavens as citizens.
Good.
I'm going to repeat that. I think that got by somebody. We are on the earth as strangers, as sojourners, as guests, but we're in the heavens as citizens because in the heavens, in Christ, is our home. See, that information is not available elsewhere. Why we put a prioritized value ratings on the epistles of Paul? Why do we do this? We do this because there's information that is given there that's not available in other portions of the Bible. It's not there. It's not there. You won't find this revelation. This is why it is referred to as the mysterion of the mystery, which does not mean it is hidden knowledge, but it is revealed truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly, we don't preach from those areas of the Bible, because you know why? Because it's not dealing with ice cream and candy and pretzels and peanuts. And amen. It's not dealing with houses and cars and land. It's not dealing with... In fact, amen, this gospel doesn't appeal to the flesh. This gospel appeals to the spirit. This gospel doesn't appeal to the outer man. This gospel appeals to the new man. Of the inner man. So it is not the outer man that the appeal is made to.
All right, now.
Give me about 5 minutes. I'm going to wrap this thing up for today. We are complete. We are full. Whatever you ought to be, you already are. No, not manifestation wise. What you are has been actualized in the decree of God. So if you stumble, if you fall, you know, amen, it doesn't affect what God has done because He didn't do it on the basis of your performance. Because sometimes we don't do so good. That's all of us. As I said last week, you know, amen. Someone looked at me strange. I'm saying, you know, you happened upon me in the wrong time. Amen. You said, Pastor. Now, is this glorifying depraved actions and conduct? No. But neither are we going to give no illusions. Do you know all of these great men?
No illusions.
Paul, Timothy, They had compassions, going to other dispensations. Peter, John, they had compassions, going to other dispensations. Elijah, somebody couldn't understand why this man who had stood at one point against all of the false prophets of Israel could get a message from a woman and take off running. Huh? He was caused to stand. And in the midst of the confrontation concerning the gods, God caused him to stand. God chose not to cause him to stand when he got that message from Jezebel. So when you stand, when you stand, it's because he calls you to stand. And when you fall, it's because he didn't choose to hold you up. So, ooh, Pastor. Said, no, you're accusing God. No, you're not accusing God. How are you going to accuse a sovereign God? Whatever he does is right.
Everything.
When he holds us up, he's right.
Right.
When he chooses not to hold us up, he's right.
He's right.
Hmm? Because all things work toward his purpose.
Come on here.
So when we are complete in him as the power and efficacy of his mighty workings in this mystical union comprise this virtue on our behalf. Thus the believer is partly to a twofold condition. One totally spiritual, and the other one, well, you know, by association, we identify sometimes, and then we act like who we are. And then sometimes we don't identify, and we don't act like who we are. But I love the song of the saints that used to sing, "When you see me walking right, God is using me." Huh? Not that I got up that day with any more sense than I had yesterday. And the testimony of that is because on the next day, I could be acting like he's not using me. And it'd be apparent that he's not using me. Huh? When you see me talking right, God is using me. When you see me living right, God is using me. I'm identifying with who I am. And I didn't get to it this morning, and I'm going to let you go because we did start early. Amen. Each day that we live, we're faced with challenges of this life. And there's no gospel that deals with that in more minute detail than our gospel. In a very sober and cold way. I don't mean cold from the standpoint that God doesn't love us. But cold from the standpoint of calling the flesh what it is.
Absolutely.
Paul said in one of his writings, "I know that within me, that is within the flesh and blood, that dwelleth no good things." I've heard some try to sugarcoat that, or they try to actually change that and say Paul was talking about when he was Saul. No, he wasn't. It's in the present tense. Go to the grammar.
Sure is.
He didn't say within me, that is within my flesh, was no good thing. He said within me, that is within my flesh, there is no good thing. There is none. And he's still speaking in the present tense when he says,
"Amen.
When I would do good,
mm-hmm.
I would, but evil is present
right there
around me. And the things that I should do, I don't. And the things I shouldn't do, that's what I end up doing." And Paul said, "Oh, wretched man He didn't say that I was. Oh, wretched man that I am. So who shall deliver me from this condition? But here, if you exegete that and you bring that into context, what Paul does is he separates the spiritual man from the natural man. He separates the inner man from the outer man. He separates the old man from the new man. And what happens is, eventually, the old man is taken out.
Absolutely.
What do you mean he's taken out? You know what it means to take somebody out. He's destroyed. He's annihilated.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because the purpose of manifestation would have run its course. And what God had all along was a glorious, beautiful new creation in Christ Jesus. Give the Lord a hand, praise.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Now, see, I don't have to preach now. It's been said. It's been said. Praise be God. The Holy Spirit, through our pastor, has laid out God's work of salvation.